You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Irish Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to an 8-race card from Bellewstown on the level. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on the line to take a look at every race in detail is Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good, yeah. Good. So I drive back and all that and ready to go for the podcast today.
Good to hear. And pretty sizable fields tonight at Bellewstown.
As always, yeah. Never really lets us down, Bellewstown. Even on the round track, they have... always close to maximum fields, and there's no respite from that tonight. We've got plenty of decent handicaps, probably lacking in quality until the last race, has to be said. A few interesting maidens to begin, but tricky old night tonight. Not overly confident, but we'll do our very best, Sam.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully we can dig out the value somewhere along the way. We'll start then with their first race of the day, which comes up at 4:05. This one is a 7-furlong maiden, and Ample Sufficiency is the 6-4 favourite in this one. Minchai is 11-4. Eris Mum is 11-4, and it's 11s bar those. Talk us through this first one, Andy.
Yeah, just before we start the podcast, obviously the ground has changed quite dramatically over in Bellewstown for those that haven't been tuned in to what's been going over in Ireland. It's good to yielding... in the forecast and the racing post, it's now heavy.
All right.
So that is a massive, massive change. Heavy ground tonight, Bellewstown. So these 2-year-olds in the first race were pretty much in the dark with regards which ones are likely to handle the conditions, because not many of them have been on ground anywhere near as bad as what it's going to be tonight. So we could get a bit of a shock or several shocks. The one with the best form, or the two with the best form, are at the top of the market. Ample Sufficiency and Ursimum. Of the two, I quite like Ursimum. I thought that fifth behind How High the Moon, who I think will make it up into a staying filly for Aidan O'Brien next season, maybe in the Oaks, or maybe even the 2000 Guineas, who knows. But that looked a really decent maiden. And William McCreary's filly kept on quite nicely in the latter stages, backing up that run first time out at Ferry House. Ample Sufficiency also ran with a good deal of promise on debut behind Jessica Harrington's Miss Gossip. The form of that race hasn't really worked out all that well, and we haven't seen this horse for a month or so. But he looks as though he's got a bit of quality, and he seemed to cope with the easier conditions underfoot that night. Minchai's been a bit disappointing since running up a string of seconds, but at least he has got a heavy ground run early on in the season behind Ard Senair, so that's a positive to be taken from him. There's a little bit of money this morning for Universal Focus, Russ Sullivan's charge, but... He would obviously have to improve on his debut, but he does come out of that race. Obviously, Herald the Dawn won at Nice, and as we saw what Herald the Dawn did at the Curragh on Sunday. But I'll take a bit of a punt that Ursimum goes on the ground, but it would be with a huge dollop of trepidation.
Okay, then Ursimum in that 4:05. Next race on the card then is the 4:35. This one is another 7-furlong maiden, and Valak heads affairs here at 11-8. 7-4 for Dreamcraft. A Pro Bear is 5-1, 8-1 for Hush Tones, 16s. But I'll start with the favourite here, Andy Valak. Looked for all the world like he was going to get off the market at Galway last time out. Disappointed there. Are you prepared to give him another chance?
No, not really. No, I've given up with him, to be honest. I thought he had every chance the other day. Okay, he was taken on for the front-running role by Unyielding, and the two of them rather cut each other's throat. So, you know, his finishing position was obviously accentuated quite greatly, but... ultimately, he was drawn in stall one. He had the visor on. It was Dermot Weld at Galway. He was dropping back in trip, and he still couldn't take advantage either way, which you strip it down. I mean, he's two runs prior to that, perfectly respectable. Second to Cradle Mountain on soft ground at Nice, decent effort. And he's third behind Sir Isaac Newton and Stop and Linger, two subsequent winners at Garran, reads quite well. But I just think he's a bit tame in the finish, and I'm not totally convinced by him, to be honest. I think he's got a bit of a glass chin. So I'm going to go with Dreamcraft here. He looks one of the best bets on the card, really, with a frail favourite and a pretty ordinary bunch in the rest of the crowd. And this horse, being by Master Craftsman, should really appreciate the deep conditions here tonight at Belliestown. Most of that sire's offspring do. And she ran really well down in Galway on her latest start. She has been doing all season long, to be fair, beyond Saltash, Poor Jew. Those two are useful animals in their own right. And the winner, Boa Boy, that day at Galway, got a lovely run around the inside and took advantage of good track position. But I thought Dreamcraft ran really well. Kept on willingly all the way to the line, never gave an inch. And she only just finished behind a horse who's gone in to win a maiden subsequently for Aidan O'Brien called the Crewmaster. The three of them were nicely clear. The time figure was good. Although Boa Boy got beaten a handicap the other day, he certainly acquitted himself quite well. I think he finished fourth in Ian Killarney the other night. So all in all, I think we've got a dodgy favourite, but the second favourite looks really strong, and I think Dreamcraft will take the scalp of Dermot Wells Charge.
Dreamcraft then the pick for Andy in the 4:35. Third race on the card comes up at 5:10. This one is a 7 furlong handicap. The market headed by Cash or Casualty this morning. Virile is 6-1 next in behind that. 7-1 for Snap Click. Knights Templar is 8. It's also 8s about Artistic Integrity. 12s by those. 5-2 the price of the favourite this morning, Cash or Casualty. Who looks the most likely to oblige here?
I've been digging through this race this morning. There's only really one or two horses who've got soft or heavy ground form over this trip. A lot of them want fast ground. For that reason, Cash or Casualty just simply has to be favourite. I do think Fit the Cove will belie his age. I know he's a 15-year-old, but he didn't run too badly down in Ballinrad the other day on soft or heavy ground. At least this horse has got loads and loads of deep ground form in the dim and distant past. You look at his form figures, it's absolutely chock full of heavy ground and soft ground victories and good runs when there's been the mud flying. So even at 14-1, I could see Harry Rogers' charge, pushing behind the barrier of his age. But Cash or Casualty probably just has to be the selection. But this race doesn't really appeal at all because I think there's doubts about him and so many others in the race.
Okay, fair enough then. We'll move on to the next race on the card, which comes up at 5:45. This one is the second division of that 7 furlong handicap. And II Skipper leads the market here at 7-4. 6-1 for Credit the Giver. Tags Island is 8-1. It's 8-1 about It's Harry's Girl. Botanical Lady is a 9's chance. And then it's 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. And this looks a bit stronger than the first division of this handicap. And then we've got a horse here who's in a good heart in this favourite II Skipper, having won his last two. The cheap pieces seem to work the oracle with him recently.
Absolutely, Sam. I was just about to say that. Ever since he's had the headgear on, the cheek pieces, his last three runs, he's improved immeasurably. I mean, you couldn't spot him in radar 4 runs ago at Nice when he was showed absolutely nothing. But they've been on the Tipperary Killarney in the Curragh. They resulted in a much better run from a bad draw at Tipperary. Then he got off the mark in Killarney, landing a bit of a punt. And then he followed up in exemplary fashion the other day, well backed again at headquarters. And he saw the trip out, stayed on very strongly, coped with the drop back in trip. All in all, he's just a horse in a really good place at the moment. We know he goes on the ground. We know he's a strong stayer. He gets the mile really well. If you get a mile at Killarney, that's uphill all the way to the line. You should be fired here. So I think he's very much a worthy favourite and the one to beat. I think the danger might stem from Johnny Murta's 3-year-old, Tags Island, who was involved in a very hot race down in Killarney the night. I actually fancied horse called Lagorne, but that got given a little bit too much to do. But either way, that race is a very strongly run one. And Tags Island, Andy's got nutted by a well-handicapped horse, Mickey O'Callaghan's called Magnificent. But there's no disgrace in that. And if it wasn't for his draw, and maybe his inability on paper anyway to handle the ground, I don't know whether he'll go on this ground or not, he would have a huge, huge chance. It's Harry's Girl. Also ran well under these conditions the other day down in Galway, and she could be some kind of threat from an each-way perspective. That was a good effort behind Tudor City. And the aforementioned Magnificent, who won that Killarney race that Tags Island was involved in, was back in third. So I think that form's quite good as well. So if you gave me a choice here, it'd be II Skipper. And of the rest, I think It's Harry's Girl is the each-way alternative around about 8-1.
Okay, a couple to think about then in that 5:45 for Andy. The next race on the card comes up at 6:15. Another maiden here, this time over the minimum trip of 5 furlongs. Shanghai Beauty is the 130 favourite. 4-1 for Sugar Mill. Chestnut Fire is 6-1. Same price about Ifraja. She's a Pistol, 7-1. 8-1 Future Icon. 8-1 Nancy Astor. And 12s. But those, how do you sort out these 3-year-old sprinters, Andy?
Yeah, this one's a real difficult one because we have got a very shaky feel to this with regards many of these never even encountering ground as bad as this, so we could get a bit of a fluky result. What I tend to do in these kind of races at Bellystown is basically split the field in half. When the ground's really, really testing here on this straight track, it's a bit of a funny, almost like a bit of a horseshoe. It's almost like a boomerang, really. They run in a chute for about a furlong and a half, and then they come onto the main track. But I often find that the high draw numbers have a huge, huge advantage when the ground's as deep at Bellystown over the sprint distances. So that in mind, I'm looking towards the high number draw here. And a horse that's drawn is still 10 is a horse called Chestnut Fire, who's been chalked up at a variety of prices this morning. It's as low as 4-1, as big as 8-1. William Hill are somewhere in the middle at sixes. Just had the three runs so far in his career, but definitely showed a massive amount of promise the last day down in Nace when staying on eye-catchingly to finish fifth behind Little Treasure in quite a strongly run race. A horse that I fancied out of that race called Zillin, who finished fourth, went on to win at Dundalk next time out, thus boosting that form and that speed figure. And this horse is top of my numbers off the back of that run. It's just whether he can handle the ground, but he's certainly in a good position on the track to cope with, or to take advantage anyway. Shanghai Beauty's got plenty of form on soft ground early on in the season. Obviously, he finished fifth behind Your Best Chance, and Fort Deloro was second. And Ifraja was involved in that race as well, so they've obviously got to be mentioned quite prominently. But I do think this Mickey Halford horse has got a bit of upside. And like I say, he's not a bad each-way price, so let's go with Chestnut Fire.
Okay, Chestnut Fire then gets the pick in that 6:15. The next race on the card comes up at 6:45. We've got a 5 furlong handicap here, and Dan's Gift is the 9-2 favourite. 11-2 for Enter the Red. Cats Will Do is 7-1, 8-1 for Clear Focus. Calm Bay is 9, same price as Ability and Delivery and La Canada. Then it's 11-1 bar those. We'll start with the favourite here, Dan's Gift. Andy, you had quite a few of these in behind when second at Nace last time out.
Yeah, he's been knocking at the door for a long time, this Dan's Gift, and I'm sure he'll pop up one of these days when least expected, if you like. He still hasn't won a race, but it's not 3-1 to try, and the ability is definitely there. I mean, last time out, he was a moral winner, really, to be fair. He went up the inside from stall two, and he won the race comfortably on the far side, but unfortunately, the far side rail, as we know, in sprint races at Nace, can be a bit of a quagmire, and down the middle of the track, along comes Battle of the Boyne, racing on the fastest part of the track to nut him in the latter strides. So, you know, in all intents and purposes, he's almost a winner without a penalty here. And obviously, Sheila Lavery's also in fantastic nick. Of course, she had two winners at the Galway Festival, as we well know. Drawn right in the middle, not absolutely ideal, but at the end of the day, not too bad either. But I've got a theory that the stand side is the place to be here, and the ones that are drawn high have got a distinct, or maybe will have a distinct advantage. And with that in mind, I'm prepared to roll the dice here, and a real wild outsider here. What's called Missile Command, drawn 15 of 15. Time will tell, or the race before will certainly tell whether my theory is right that the high numbers might have an advantage. But he comes out of a race which is already beginning to work out quite well. II Skipper, the aforementioned horse who runs early on in the night, was involved in that Tipperary race on the 7th of August, actually finished 5th. And back in 8th was the slightly unlucky and eye-catching Missile Command, who didn't get the best of runs in the latter stage of that race. Certainly showed plenty on that occasion, and actually didn't run too badly the time before either, when finishing fifth in a 5 furlong handicap at Nace. So this horse is definitely not as big a forlorn hope as the price would suggest, given all the reasons I've mentioned. Two good runs last time on his last two runs and the draw. So let's take a punt on Missile Command, proving my theory right with a high draw.
Missile Command then getting the vote in the 6:45. The penultimate race tonight from Bellystown comes at 7:15. We've got a 1.5 mile handicap here, and Benkai heads affairs at 11-4. Valet du Sol is 100-30. 9-2 for Eberdani. Sophie's World is 15-2. 8-1 Alton Bay. Same price about Sweet Cherry. 9-1 for Eric the Grey. 12s bar those. Couple of interests here. Who's caught the eye?
Well, Benkai is the fastest horse in this race on the numbers. His time he produced when he won at Galway was a real fast one. It was the fastest time on that particular card. It was one of the fastest times on the flat during the week, and we've already seen the form work out incredibly well. Heartbreak City, who was third, went on to win at York in a competitive handicap. And my old friend, Hazariban, who was fifth, he went on to win next time out at Tremor. So I don't need any second invitation to suggest that form is definitely of the highest order for this kind of grade. The only problem is with Harry Rogers, his five-year-old. Now, the ground was yielding that day, but it was definitely on the good side of yielding, and this is a kind of conditions that, to be fair, in the past he hasn't really done all that well on. You know, real deep, heavy ground. We're very much in the unknown whether he'll handle it or not. If he does, then I think he's the most likely winner. I'd certainly give a good shout out here to last year's winner, Badani, who took this prize under similar conditions. And when he's had his soft ground, he's fairly useful. He beat One Cool Poet and the informed Brennan in the Micra at the Galway Festival when the ground was on the easy side. So I think he's going to be a danger to all. So I'd probably split my stakes here. I'd have to have a few Cunham Benkard just for him, just in case he did handle the ground. But at round about 5-1, Eben Darney would be a huge danger.
Okay, then a couple there for Andy. We'll move on to the final race of the night at 7:45. This one is over a mile and a half, and Bantry Bay heads the market here at 13-8 at the time recording. 15-8 for Manalapan. It's 5-2 for Chapter 7. Time for action is 12-1, and 14s for Altruistic, the outside of the five. It's the smallest field of the night, Andy, but possibly the most classiest.
Yeah, a lot depends on whether we get a full complement of the runners here. I've got a funny feeling that Bantry Bay is going to be a non-runner looking on the odds checker board this morning. Maybe the ground has gone a little bit too soft or too heavy for Aidan O'Brien's charge. So that means we should have a straight fight here between Chapter 7 and Malalapan. Now, a lot depends on whether Malalapan handles these conditions. Up to now, Dermot Weld's charge, who used to be with another trainer. Don't forget, this is his first run for Dermot Weld. All this horse's best form was on a good surface, good ground surface. And he used to have some very good form as well on the all-weather at Dundalk, suggesting that he doesn't want to get his toe in. Whereas Chapter 7, conversely, would definitely want the soft ground here tonight. He's very much a horse who comes into his own on soft or heavy ground. He ran really well at the Galway Festival behind Dark Crusader, who went on to finish third last week in a very competitive handicap at York. And he seems to have been developing a little bit more stamina as time's gone on. He used to be around a mile and a quarter horse when with that previous connection. I think Carl Burke used to have him in the UK. Certainly I know Stuart Williams did in his early days. And he was very much a horse, you know, that used to be running in and around that mile distance. But he seems to have got, like I say, plenty of stamina. He actually finished second beyond order at St George 2 starts ago at Down Royal, and we know that horse is now favourite for the St Ledger. So he's been keeping very good company in his last couple of starts. He'll go on the ground, and because of that, I think he might just be able to turn over Malalapan, who's unproven under the conditions.
Okay, fair enough. Andy's thoughts in the lucky last then tonight at 7:45. If you just remind us, please, one more time of your 8 selections for the action at Bellewstown today, Andy.
Yeah, just beware tonight with the punting at Bellewstown. Good to yielding in the racing post. It's now heavy, so obviously that changed the dynamics of the whole card completely. I'll go with Ursa Mum in the first, just hope that she handles the conditions. I'll be really confident of Dreamcraft turning over Valak in the 4:35, so much so that I'll probably make that horse my nap of the evening. In the 5:10, I'll stick with Cash or Casualty, although I wouldn't be absolutely betting my life on this horse gets a mile in heavy ground. Maybe Fit the Cove might run well at a big price. II Skipper has got every chance of completing the hat-trick, given his current vein of form in the 5:45, but also do keep an eye on its Harry's Girl around well at the Galway Festival. In the 6:15, Trapio race, but I do think the high numbers on the sprint track have a big advantage, or could have a big advantage. And with that in mind, Chestnut Fire, drawn stall 10 around well last time out in a good race, gets the boat there. 6:45, I'm going to take a real wild punt that the high-drawn 15 stall box of Missile Commands is an advantage there, and at 20-1 is worth a small interest. Benkai, if he handles the ground, I think he'll take a bit of beating in the 7:15, but if not, maybe last year's winner, Abin Darney, will repeat the dose. And in the final race, I've got a funny feeling Bantry Bay is going to be a non-runner by the time this podcast goes out. So with that in mind, it looks a match between Chapter 7 and Malalapan, and I'll take the former to beat the latter.
Okay, there we are. Andy Holden's thoughts ahead of the Bellewstown card tonight. And you'll hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio. We start at 1:40 p.m. today with Lingfield, Catterick and Musselburgh in the afternoon. And then it's Bath and Kempton alongside that Bellewstown card. Dave Kellner, Ollie Pimlott and Gary Caper will be the team in the studio to guide you through all of that. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast this morning, Andy. And best of luck with the selections.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.